purity and self-control. Amen. God provides you bread out of his goodness. Yeah? Every time you put seed in the ground and it grows and produces fruit, that's God's goodness. Amen? That's God's what? Goodness. But above bread, God wants you to have a relationship with him. Amen? Your relationship with God is of eternal value. The bread you eat is of a temporary value. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I'm not saying bread is not important. I'm not asking you to go on strike and not send me any more bread. Yeah? Please don't go on strike. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah? Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Yeah, let's have it two versions. One from New Living and one from Amplified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Yes, who is ready? Yes, I come to you. 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Tell us which version.
New Living.
Okay.
You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything.
Amen. Continue. 13.
You say, food was made for the stomach, and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them.
Amen. You can stop there. I wanted to stop at that point. Yes? Another version? Okay. I take you first. Which version do you have? Yes, now take it as Amplified. Go on, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13a. I'll stop you in the middle. Go on, please.
All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but will not be brought under the power of any. Food's for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not...
Okay. That's okay. Just I wanted to stop at that point of bread. Okay, finally, 1 Corinthians 6, 12 to 13a, Amplified.
Everything is permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything and brought under its power, allowing it to control me. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both of them.
Amen. God will do away with both of them. It's not eternal. Amen. But your relationship with God is of eternal value. Amen. Say with me, say my relationship with God is of eternal value. Amen. That's why I have to invest in it. Amen. Yes, you need food. Let me say it in modern language. You need food to survive. You know, you say food for the stomach and the stomach for food. You need food to survive. Say with me, say I need food to survive. Hallelujah. You need food for strength. You need food for health. Amen? You do. No matter how spiritual you are, you still need what? And I thank God for everybody that cooks food. Amen? let's put our hands together for everybody that cooks food for others. Come on, put your hands together for everybody that cooks food for others. It's a very important service. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, but Jesus was fasting. There was a higher purpose. Amen? So say, I can't do without food. You can. Because your relationship with God is of a higher purpose. It's not saying you must by force do without food. But when you have made up your mind, when you have decided that, look, I want to do this. Yeah? Don't allow the devil to come in and distract you. Amen? Oh, but someone said, oh, he has finished fasting. Why didn't he just turn the stone to bread? Yeah. Is he not the one that decided when he will start his fast? Yeah. So what's the devil's business with it? Amen. Amen. Even when you want to do something, if the devil comes along, know that it's for a bad purpose. Amen. You are set up on the good path, then you hear the voice of the devil. Please, pause and just don't ever act on the devil's prompt. Hello? Don't ever act based on the devil's prompt. There's always a sinister reason. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Yeah? But Jesus had told him that that's not how you prove that you are the Son of God. The way you prove that you are the Son of God is that you understand that God comes first. If I'm the Son of God, God comes first in my life. Amen? Food comes second. But that food, don't just think of food. Food is anything you enjoy or anything you need. Comes second. Amen? Anything you enjoy or need comes what? Second. If I'm the Son of God, they come what? Second. Hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread. It didn't say man shall not live by bread at all. You need bread. Yeah? But you need something greater than bread. Because you are not just flesh and blood. Amen? You are a spirit. A spirit. A spirit. And at the end of life, the spirit will return to its maker and give account. Amen? So what I'm trying to say is that you can't please God if you don't have self-control. Open your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. The goal of my preaching and teaching, yeah, first and foremost, is to help you deepen your relationship with God. Amen? When your relationship with God is deeper, you will produce fruit. And the blessings will come. Amen? But don't put the bread before the word. Say with me, say, don't come to your neighbor, smile at them. Say, don't put the bread before the word. Hallelujah. The bread is temporal. The word is what? Eternal. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Yes, let's have our three set of readers again. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Yes, who is ready? Anyone who is ready, I'll take it. Yeah. Galatians 5, 22. Yes, go for it. Amplified New Living or New King James. Galatians 5, 22 to 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, mm-hmm. kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, another version, Galatians 5, 22, 23. Yes. Tell us which version.
New Living.
But the Holy Spirit produces these kind of fruits in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
And self-control. Amen. And finally, let's have... That would be New King James. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The topic of today's sermon again is purity and self-control. Galatians 5, 22 to 23, New King James Version.
Mm-hmm. It is said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, yes. joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Amen. Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in your life through your human spirit. So he's the one working, but you are the one producing. So actually, it's the fruit of your own spirit. When you allow the Holy Spirit to walk through, you can decide not to allow him. You can be born again, yeah, but not allow the Holy Spirit to walk in you. One, the master symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the dove. He's gentle. He's so powerful. If you knew the Holy Spirit, he's so powerful, but he packaged it in gentleness. Is that what we call meekness? Meekness is not the lack of power or right. Meekness is to package it under control. Amen. Meekness is power under what? Isn't that amazing? So, the Holy Spirit does not force himself to walk in your life. But he is present. He is willing. When you let him, when you yield, he walks. Amen? And he produces fruit through you. Now, when the Holy Spirit starts walking, the foundation is what? Love. So if you say the foundation of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life is love. Hallelujah. And like Amplified said, if you want to know God's kind of love, it is unselfish. Amen. Hallelujah. But when did the Holy Spirit open my eyes? You see, the Holy Spirit start walking your life in love. But that love, it has many branches. So that way you read it in your Bible, it doesn't say the fruits. It said the fruit. It's one fruit. Yeah? Produce it, revealing itself in many dimensions. When love starts dominating your life, the love of God, you'll be more joyful. Amen? It's a joy that does not depend on external circumstances. It's a joy that overflows from your relationship with God. Amen? You'll be more peaceful. You just know that you have peace. All the math is not adding up. There was a bill that came in last week. That was not part of the budget. It happened to me. Amen? But you have peace that passes all understanding. Amen? And it's progressive. As soon as we continue to walk in you, you find that you are becoming more patient. Someone told me, said, I'm impatient. I said, I know. You're not the only one. Amen? But as you allow the Holy Spirit, he will work patience in you. But let me tell you one of the secrets to patience. The Bible says that Jesus Christ learned obedience. By what? By the things he suffered. If you want to learn patience, you will suffer. It's not bad suffering. It's just teaching you what? Patience. You know, like, if something happens, you can flex your muscle and change it. You feel you can do something, yeah? But what if you flex all your muscle and nothing is changing? What will you do? Somebody give me. You flex all your muscle, but it's not changing. What will you do?
You just let it go.
Yeah, you want to say it in a different language, yeah? I understand you. That's what it means to learn patience. You just calm down. You calm down. Nobody needs to tell you to keep calm. You will calm down. What are you doing? You are learning patience. Amen. But as your Holy Spirit is walking in you, do you know the ultimate point of perfection? That when you really allow the Holy Spirit to walk in you, yeah? You enter self-control. Because the source of the problem was self. Amen? The source of the problem was what? Was self. Promoting myself, asserting myself, wanting what I want, and doing what I want to do, having my way, and all that. That's flesh. That's my old man. Amen? But when I allow the Holy Spirit, it works. Patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness. Let me ask a question. What is nobody think? I've checked all the Bible versions I could see. Every time it's the same translation is goodness. What is goodness? What is going between kindness and goodness? It's there. Check, open your Bible, read it in Galatians 5, 20, 22 or 3, 23. It lists 9 dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit. One is kindness. And the next is what? Goodness. So I must ask myself, what's the difference between kindness and goodness? Come on, church. I need some answers. Yes, kindness. It's okay. Just try. Kindness and goodness. Are they different? If they are, what's the difference?
I'm not sure, but I think kindness would be the action, like being kind and that, and then goodness would be like within, so like you're good.
That's some dimension. It's not a bad answer. There's some depth in that answer. More answers? Kindness and goodness. I come to you.
I think it's similar to what Meredith said.
I think it's a perfect answer.
Yeah. So kindness would involve other people, maybe socially, you're being kind to your neighbor, your friends, your family. But goodness is from within, it's outside of that. You're good in your own person. As a person, you're good.
Good. Kindness and goodness.
What's the difference? I think it's probably what you've been sort of said, but is kindness like more emotive and then goodness is like an action? It's like things that you do day to day, maybe not necessarily to people, but kindness is more like responding to like someone else's spirit and knowing they're another person, whereas goodness might be just like doing something that is generally good.
What I can see from the answer so far is that there's similarity, yeah, and yet we are looking for this difference. The way you're looking is like some thoughts are going to your mind. You want to share any? About this kindness and goodness business. Is anything going to your mind about it? You're looking very, very reflective. Okay, I'll hear you. Yes, kindness and goodness. You can check Google for the definition.
I wanted to say that, so kindness is more like a trait of character, and goodness is like well-doing, so it is something that we learn.
Okay. Now let me help your answers. Assume both are traits of character. Assume both are virtues. Assume they are both qualities. We're just looking for a difference. Yes.
I think I'm going to say that kindness is like in your nature, and which is actually relates to your nature, and the good act is actually you're doing a dealing with a good way. I think.
So that overlaps with Brother Nick's definition. Any final one? You've given an answer before, Stayemi. You forgot it. I tend to remember things. So when I was younger, my parents told me that when I was younger, when anything gets missing, yeah, and they look for it, they can't find it, then they ask me because they and I find it for them. So they concluded that I was the one that goes. I'm the one that goes to hide those things. And of course, I could not defend myself, you know. But now I'm older. No, that was my parents, yeah. But now I'm older. My children come to ask me where their lost things are. And I tell them. But luckily, they cannot conclude that I was the one that hid. I just remember, when I see it, I put it in the memory space. And then I remember where I saw it. I remind you what you said. Okay, anyone, find final person? Kindness and goodness. Come on, somebody should try. Somebody in this thing. Amen. Good. Okay, so I think everybody understands the meaning of kindness, yeah? When you're kind, yeah? You know what it means to be kind. You know what it means to be nasty. You know what it means that someone treated you kindly. Yeah? So I don't think we are struggling with that. The question is, how does goodness vary from kindness? Amen. Goodness has to deal with moral integrity. Amen. Goodness has to do with purity. Lack of corruption. Lack of adulteration. Amen. So, there is a point that in the depth of it, there's nothing messy. Nothing, what, fishy. Nothing cheesy. Nothing, what? What? Dodgy. Hallelujah. We are called to moral integrity. Or another word, say, we are called to purity. It's a virtue that honors God. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Yes? Who has it? 1 Timothy 5, 22. Any of the three versions? Yes. I was wondering, where have you been?
I'm reading from NLT. Mm-hmm. Never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure.
Amen. Amen. Mm. Please pass it to your right hand side for New King James Version. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. New King James or Amplified, whatever you have.
Okay. I got New King James.
Yes.
Do not lay hands on anyone hastily.
Mm-hmm.
Nor share in other people's sins.
Mm-hmm.
Keep yourself pure.
Amen. Amen. Amplified. Who has Amplified? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22.
Do not hurry to lay hands on anyone,
mm-hmm.
ordaining and approving someone for ministry, mm-hmm. or an office in the church, or reinstating expelled offenders,
mm-hmm.
and thereby share in the sins of others.
Mm-hmm.
Keep yourself free from sin.
Ha! You know what he's saying here? Don't be in a hurry to affirm and confirm others. Yeah? That's good. You don't know their package. Amen? Don't allow yourself to be a partaker of other people's sin. Amen? Sometimes you partake of other people's sin by keeping association with them. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Let's open there. Just flip there and they will come back. That's like a bonus. I hope I'm quoting it right. And if I'm not quoting it right, my brother will help me find it. So he's talking about complaining. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Please open your Bible there. If I missed it, we will find it. It's in 15. It's talking about company, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. So if that's the right place, please read it. 1 Corinthians 15.
Do not be 33. Deceived. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals.
Do not be deceived. Bad company. What version do you have, sir?
Amplified.
Yes. Let's have another version beside you. 1 Corinthians 15:33.
Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character.
Amen. And then let's have it, Nick and James.
Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits.
Amen. Amen. You are good. But the goodness here, I'm not talking about being nice. I'm talking about moral integrity. I'm talking about purity. I'm talking about being a wise virgin. Amen? But you are keeping company. Yeah? With people who are what? Compromised. With people who are not putting God first. With people who don't care about the word of God. They don't care about the will of God. They don't care about the ways of God. Amen? But you are keeping company with them. Maybe you're a young person and you like to be fashionable. So you are moving with the most fashionable people at school. Yeah? But their value system is different from your value system. You are trying to be like them or look like them. Yeah? It will not take you long before you start participating in their sins. When they slander somebody, you will slander with them. When they gossip, you will gossip with them. When they pull down, you will pull down with them. When they flirt, you will flirt with them. And when they commit sin, you will be entrapped. Amen? Don't. Keep yourself what? Pure. Purity is a spiritual virtue. It should be celebrated. Amen. Anybody ever bought a brand new car? Brand new. Come on. It's not difficult in this country. All you need to do is have good credit. You see, if you're in Nigeria or Africa, if you have to buy a brand new car, you have to pay cash down. No car. But anyways, if this country is not too difficult, just get a good job and have good credit. All the cars will be looking for you. You may not buy the car and not have a house, but they'll be looking for you. And every 3 years, your car is depreciating by half its value. Amen? You know what I like about new things? They are pure. Neat. You are the first person. Yeah? Who will break it in or whatever way you say it. Amen? There's value. Amen? There's value in being uncorrupted. Amen? And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, 2 Corinthians, sorry. It says, if anyone is in Christ, what are they? A new creation. It's like when you come into Christ, God has made you all new. Now you can now understand what he's telling in this. Keep yourself pure. It's a maintenance issue. God does the part. Yeah? But you should aspire to maintain it. Because it's beautiful. It's glorious. Amen? Say, I choose to be uncorrupted in this world. Hallelujah. It's a virtue of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is walking, look, I'm trying to encourage you, including you young people. And by the way, I've walked your journey. Don't ever listen to anybody that tells you it's not possible. You can be different in the midst of many people. Hallelujah. Everybody can be doing the wrong thing and you can do the right thing and God will back you up. Oh yeah, you may lose some friends sometimes, but God will provide the other friends. I am sure about it. Amen? You may be unpopular sometimes, but right in their face, God will give you the victory. Amen? You can stand on the path of truth and not be ashamed of it. Amen. You don't need everybody clapping for you. Bible says that the world is passing away. You see, one thing about the world is that when you're in the world, the same people celebrating you when you are, you know, when you are on the rise, they are the same people who is stamp on you and pull you down when you are falling. If you don't believe me, go and ask Matt Hancock or whoever. Yeah? They celebrate you. Yeah? In your days of glory. But when you make a mistake or two, they pull you down. This is the world system. It's the way the devil is. When the devil is trying to raise you up, he's only raising you up, pumping you up so he can pull you, so he can shatter you. It's like you blow up a balloon, then you poke it with a needle. Not the eye of the needle, the end. Amen? So don't depend on the world system. It's a deceptive system. Amen? It's what? It's deception. You can stand and be virtuous. It's beautiful. It's glorious. You don't have to be corrupted. The world is there to corrupt you. But you can choose not to be corrupted. You say, why? You say, why can I? Because I'm in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, what are they? In the creation. While I'm here, let me just explain something to you. This is just an analogy. See, I was born in Africa. Anybody born in Africa? You mean you were not born in Africa? I know. I'm just putting your legs. What about you? Were you born in Africa? So I was born in Africa. Yeah? So I grew up in an African culture. Yeah? My dressing was Africa. My language was Africa. I know how to speak Pidgin English. Amen? My behavior was also Africa. To the limit, because I'm a Christian. So there are some things I won't do. But there are some things that you just pick up from the environment. Yeah? Amen? For example, when I started driving a car, I didn't go to driving school. And I didn't have a driving license. I just learned one or two or three tricks from my dad. And the next few weeks, I was on the road. Yeah? And until I came here and I took driving lessons, I thought I was a very good driver. Very good. I even drove my dad long distances. When I came here, they told me that, look, when you are braking, you don't press the clutch. Because everything I ever learned in my driving from start is that anytime it's clutch and brake. Then I taught someone too. It's clutch and brake. Amen. But that was then. Now, I've lived in the UK for many years. All my children were born in the UK. In fact, actually, I have become a British citizen. I no longer have an excuse to be doing stupid, to be behaving stupid African behavior. I'm a different person in a different kingdom. Amen? And I'm not just new in the kingdom. I'm growing. Hallelujah. That's the way the kingdom of God is. Amen? You cannot continue to behave like a baby. You have entered the kingdom. Amen? You are a son of God. Not like Jesus, but you are aiming to become like him. You are learning about the word. You are growing in grace. You need to begin to function like the new person that you are. Hallelujah. The old man is gone. But he's still there. It's a paradox. See, your old man resides in your flesh. Any day you want to revive it is ready for you. Hello? I'm born again. You know, there's nothing you can't do. You can if you revive it. Yes, the old man is dead, but you can revive it. So what you want to do is keep it dead. Amen? A new man. Yeah? Keep it fed. So let me say, keep the old man dead and keep the new man fed. When you stop feeding your new man, it will grow weak. And it can die. Anything that can be born can die. What did I say? Anything that can be born can die. The only thing that cannot die is something that cannot be born. For example, God cannot die. Spirits cannot die. But if you can be born, you can die. Amen? And that's a beginning. As an end. That's why God has no beginning. And he has what? No end. Amen? I'm a new creation. Before I was a citizen of the world. Yeah? But now I'm a citizen of the kingdom. That's who I am. So I reproduce the behaviors of the kingdom. I'm not perfect in it, but I'm growing. So you may say, I'm not perfect in it, but I'm growing. Hallelujah. Many Christians, they are content to be spiritual babies all their life. They want to be cuddled. Anybody likes a cuddle? Me, I like a cuddle. Do you like a cuddle? Question.
So do you know how you were talking about new creation? I've been like new creation of Christ and that. When you pray, and like you repent, you're planning to be like a to be renewed, are you renewed after you finish praying, or is it like a long process, like, okay, I've prayed now, I've repented, now I have to walk? Like, I don't know how to explain, but
I understand you. Excellent question. Amen. You see, when the moment you've accepted Jesus to come into your life, it's a momentous decision. Yeah? It's a life-changing decision that I recognize you as the Messiah. I recognize you as the way, the truth, and the life. I recognize you as the chosen one of God. I recognize you that there's no other way to eternal life than you, Jesus. Amen? It's a momentous decision. When you align to, when you take that decision and you align to come in and be your Lord, that was the day you became a new creation. But the problem is in your soul. You see, when you're a new creation, first and foremost, as a, in the spirit, you're a baby. A baby needs to be fed and nurtured so that they can grow. You see, a baby, yeah, when a baby is born, in their body, they have all the things they need to be human. Yeah? For example, like if you have a baby girl, she comes into the world with a womb. But that womb is not yet mature enough to have children. You got it? But it's there. Amen? Well, as you grow, you can now attain some new functionalities. So a baby comes to the world with their hands and feet, but they can't walk yet. Because they need to grow and develop into it. Yeah? That takes feeding and exercise. Yep? But that's in your spirit. But when it comes to, you have a soul. Your soul is your head. Your memory, your imaginations. Yeah? Your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts. They are all here. This is the center of the control. Yeah? And before you got born again, before you came to Christ, you have picked up a lot of stuff from the world. You had a way of doing things. You had some habits. Some things you liked, some things you didn't like that did not depend on the word of God. Yeah? So, yes, let's assume that you've done something wrong. You repent. That's a spiritual thing. But you need to renew your mind with the word of God. It's like the way it works is this. I give you a brand new top. I don't know what type of top you like. You know, your dad will know, but I don't know. The one you like most. Brand new. It's what you always wanted. And I gave you it for your birthday. Yeah? So now you have a new top. But as you use it, you pick up what? It will get dirty. Whichever way you look at it. Whether external or internal. And then you need to what? To what? To wash it. That's the renewal. Yeah? Of that top. Yeah? So now you can wash it and carry it about without any smell or anything. Amen? The word of God is what renews your mind. So every time you expose yourself to the word of God, you read it, you meditate on it, you come to church, you hear the word of God. Not just the one that will excite you. Because there's the word of God that will excite you and make you feel good. But you will not grow. But when you hear the word, when you hear truth, the word of God is the only the truth that can make you free. Only the truth will set you free. Say with me, say, only the truth will make me free. So when you hear truth, it's washing something away. Like today, now something that I said, yeah? It's washing something. Some things have been washed away from the way you think today. Just because you heard this sermon. It's a renewal of your mind. It's a lifelong process. Just like the washing of your tub. So long you use it, you need to what? You need to wash it. Amen? The only way you won't need to wash it is not to what? Use it. Go and hide it. All the nice stuff. Hide them at the bottom of your box. Your nicest stuff. Then you won't need to renew. Yeah? Lock yourself up as a monk in the monastery. But even when you are there, you can't stop, you can't control all your thoughts. Amen? So, and that leads me to a point, and I'll round up because I can do a part two of this message now. You can't achieve self-control without the renewal of your mind. I just want to make a point there. I want you to get it right. You see, listen to me. It will really help. It applies to all of us, even me. Amen? You see, the fact that you are being provoked does not mean you need to yield. I want you to understand. The fact that I'm not feeling good, maybe like you wake up in a day and everything just did not work. The car did not start on time. There was ice on the road. You go to this train station. The train was delayed. Everything did not work. Yeah? You may get to the point that you feel like shouting like Shrek. Ah! But you don't have to. You don't have to. That one thing I want you to understand. Yeah. Something may happen and you feel like breaking the wall. That's how you are feeling in your emotion. But you don't have to yield to your emotion. If you are yielding to it, you lack what? Self-control. And let me tell you something. Every sin, somebody say every sin, is a product of self. Is a product of the lack of self-control. But if you don't agree, meet me after the service and tell me your scenario. Amen? If you can just control yourself, control your desire, control your emotions. Because then you feel like, I have to have it now. If I don't have it now, I will die. It's a lie. It's a lie. You won't die. Amen? You don't have to react to every emotion. You can delay reaction. You can delay gratification. Amen? And the more you master self-control, of course, not in your power, to the help of the Holy Spirit, and not without the word. I always tell myself, I have a strong willpower. When I say I'm not doing that, no, it has to do with the state of your mind. The state of your mind, it matters a lot. And only the word of God can wash your mind. A lot of believers have crooked ways of thinking. It's crooked because they've exposed themselves to these ways of thinking by the type of evil company they've kept in the past. When I say evil, I don't mean they are very evil people. I just mean that they think differently. Amen? They think differently because their foundation, their value system is not based on the word. Are you with me? When you watch movies, whether you're watching American movies or British movies or Nigerian movies, it's called Nollywood. Or Indian movies, or you call it Bollywood. So whether you want to go to Hollywood or what? Or Bollywood or what? Or Nollywood. They are all influencing your way of thinking. When you watch Hollywood will tell you that you can have sex with anybody. Once it's consensual, it's okay. That is not the word of God. Amen? The word of God tells you, you can't. He said your body is the temple of what? Say with me, I need to, when I'm confessing it, it's empowering me. You don't understand, I resist temptation. Temptation can come. Jesus was tempted. When he comes, I just say, ah. I just talk to myself. I say, ah. Your body, say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I can't afford to corrupt it. I'm telling you what I do. I don't know what you do. I tell myself, I can't afford to corrupt it. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By that statement, I'm renewing my mind. Amen. But the battle is more difficult when I continue to listen to Hollywood. Because Hollywood is full of corrupt producers. You know one of them? He came out in the news the other day called Ave something. I'm not trying to pull him down. I'm just trying to understand that the person producing that thing you're watching and you're enjoying is of a corrupt mind. And his goal is to transmit that corruption into your soul. Oh, you may like the action, the train clashing with the car and everything just blew up. But behind that is the selling, the marketing of corruption. So that he will show you things he believes in. You see, there are things that guy believes in. And that's exactly what he's going to reproduce in his frames. The same things that he's going to court for now and going to be jailed for is his mindset. Yeah? And he will reproduce it. Sometimes you may even have a script that is different, but you will find a way to manipulate that script until it conforms with the corruptness of his mind. Because he doesn't know any other way. Amen? Now, when you watch it, your mind is being modified to tell you that it's not that bad. It's okay. It's no different from what people do. So then you are weaker. So say no. Amen? But when you stay in the word, you stay in fellowship, you hear truth over and over again, the strength to say no will come. Amen? Because you just understand that that is not who I am and that's not who I am to be. I am what? A citizen of the kingdom. And because I'm a citizen of this kingdom, I perform, yeah, according to kingdom principles. That's who I am. That's who you are. Say there's virtue in purity. Amen. You don't want adulterated fuel in your car. You know, what do you use in your car? Diesel or petrol? Imagine. Yeah? Imagine I'm a petrol seller. So before you come, yeah? I take the petrol and mix it with kerosene. Because kerosene is cheaper. It won't do you any harm. Don't worry. It's still petrol. Petrol 50%, kerosene 50%. You look at it. It still looks like petrol. Yeah? You pay me. Yeah? Fill up that car. Yeah? Then as you are going, your car starts, it jacks forward. It jacks backward. Are you going to be happy, grateful? I mean, even if I sold you for a cheaper price, so basically we shared 50-50. Instead of paying 100%, you pay 70. So I gain something, you gain something. But when it starts jacking you, will you be happy? No. That's what happens. So impurity is an adulteration. You lose. With every adulteration, you lose something. Amen? You lose something. And you cannot share the profit with the devil. It's after your soul. And you refuse to give your soul to the devil. You refuse to sell it. Amen? So, I'll begin to round up now. Before we round up, let's now show you the result of not having self-control. But although I've explained to you that you can't have self-control just in your own human power, because the flesh is weak, you need the renewal of your mind with the word. Yeah? I need to stay there consistently. 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 And then you need, yeah, the help of the Holy Spirit. And the help is there for you. You need to know how to yield to the Spirit. When, let's say you're about to, you always land in a ditch, yeah? It's your favorite. Every time, you have this thing that trips you up, and you're going to land that ditch. Yeah? When you are about to enter the ditch, it's too late. You will enter. But 10 steps before, the Holy Spirit can tell you, can you just take a left turn? Your ability to obey the Holy Spirit then and take that left turn will save you from landing in the ditch. If you don't obey the Holy Spirit then, yeah, and you enter this motorway, you will land again in that. I know you landed in it yesterday, but you land again today. Because you didn't obey the Holy Spirit at a particular trigger point when you should have just signed out. You sign out. You know, you can be having a discussion with someone and it's getting hot. But before it blows, you sign out. That was your moment of victory. Beyond a particular point, you can't sign out anymore. You're going to give them a full hostage. Then you're going to feel sorry after. I've been there. I don't know whether you've been there. I know what I'm talking about. So finally, let's just look at the Galatians 5, yeah, 19 to 21. So when you don't have self-control, When they slept, when you don't have self-control, the flesh will be ruling you. Because the flesh is very present. It is very present. You are living in the flesh. It can be stimulated, it can be activated. So when you don't have self-control, what will you be seeing in your life? Galatians 5:19-21, New Living Translation. And then after that, we take Amplified. Then I'll pack it, I'll run it up there for today. Galatians 5:19-21. Anyone who has not read out today? Galatians 5:19-21, yes. So that's from New Living Translation. Galatians 5:19-21.
Yeah, New Living Translation. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. Who was he writing to? Believers or unbelievers? Believers. Amen. You see, one of the things that will really help you grow spiritually is when you start taking the Bible seriously. Don't ever read the Bible and say, no, that doesn't apply to me. Mistake, big mistake. When you're reading the Bible, let it apply to you. Amen. Yes, let's have one more version. Galatians 5:19-21, Amplified. See one of the things when you don't have self-control, it's called outburst of anger.
Now, the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. Thank you, sir. So I'll just try to pack it, tidy it up now. I may do a party somewhere in the future. But and this is what I want to say. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, God blessing you, yeah, does not start from material things. It starts from spiritual things. Amen. The blessing of Abraham is not his richness. If you go back to Genesis 12 and read it, he said, I will make you a great nation. Yeah. He said your descendants will be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. But the greatest blessing of Abraham, do you know it? He said, in you shall all the nations of the earth bless. Do you know how that promise was fulfilled? It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It was only in Jesus that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So God is saying to Abraham, if you are faithful, your seed will be the Messiah of the world. That is the blessing of Abraham. Amen? Amen? That's why we can call ourselves the children of Abraham by faith. It is through Christ. Amen? Now, if Abraham was not faithful, he would have lost that blessing. That's why you see that God sent Abraham, he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, yeah, and go and sacrifice him. Why will God test Abraham? Is that God does not know his capacity? Is God trying to find out whether Abraham can obey him or whatever? Yeah. God is looking for faithfulness. Amen. Of course, God knows Abraham's capacity, but Abraham also has free will. Amen. You have to. You see, one of the things you see in the fruit of the Spirit, when I was younger, it confused me because in King James, you see one of the fruit of the Spirit as faith. Yeah? But we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know that actually, even before you receive the Holy Spirit, you come to God by faith. So it's deeper than faith. But it's still faith. Faith is correct, but it doesn't communicate it strongly. The correct word is faithfulness. See, if you have faith, you will keep faith. Amen? Let's say it again. If you have faith, you what? You will keep faith. Amen? When someone betrays you, they've lost faith in you. Huh? You know, you had a good friend, yeah? And then and stab somebody in the back. Lost faith. When someone backslides, they've lost faith. Amen? To be faithful is to keep faith. Amen? To be faithful is to endure in faith to the end. Yeah? To be faithful is to stay the course. Run the race, stay the course. Yeah? Until the fruitful end. That's faithfulness. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. So when God tells Abraham, go and do that, he's testing his faithfulness. And you can go back and read that. That's Genesis 22. When he did it, then God now declares the full blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to say is that the blessing is not only material things, not only in bread. Yes, we need bread. If you don't like your bread, send it to me. If I don't need it, I will share it to someone. I'm not denying that. But the blessing is first and foremost spiritual. Your relationship with God. The fruit of the Spirit. Yeah? Building of growing in faithfulness. Growing in purity. When I say growing in purity, I mean that, you know, your goodness. That moral integrity. Becoming stronger through the help of God. Yeah? Self-control. Yeah? They are the foundation for the blessing. Because when your relationship is right, God can walk through you. Yeah? God is walking in you first, and then he can walk through you. But when God has not walked in you, it doesn't matter the material things you have. You are just deceiving yourself. Amen? Because he doesn't know you. He says, I don't know him. Every time I try to walk in his life, he said no.